This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's your favorite Texans offseason move of the 2025 offseason? We want to hear from you. 713-572-4610 is the way to get a hold of us on the telephone. You can also check us out on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers YouTube and Twitch streams, and you can interact in the chats as well. Let us know, what do you think is, or not even what do you think, what is your actual favorite move? Not the best per se, and it can be carryover. Maybe your favorite is the best. Maybe the best is your favorite. That's up to you. But your favorite move that the Texans have made this offseason, this is inspired by Mike Sando at The Athletic, of listing his favorite offseason move from each NFL team. We'll read in a second what he had to say about the Texans. But we talked about this earlier in the show, Seth, and we got a few responses. And a couple of them are pretty funny from the 832. Thank God we traded away Mr. False Start. I was so happy. So, like, their favorite move was trading away the only good offensive lineman on an offensive line that was bad. And look, I know a lot of people were in support of that, and I understand it, but it is interesting that would be someone's favorite move was trading away your Pro Bowl left tackle.
But from the fan experience, the you can't overstate how infuriating it would become when in these critical situations there would be a whistle, a flag on the field, and you just knew, oh, it's freaking Laramie, isn't it? And that just sticks with you. And so many times when Laramie was doing it, it was in critical situations, or it was something that turned a second and four into a second and nine, whatever it might be, that throw all the PFF grades and everything else out of it, throw the fact that he's a mediocre run blocker out of it, all of that. It was just the whole way Laramie operated, where not only was he committing the false starts, but refused to accept any responsibility for it. It wasn't until midway through this year that I think I can ever remember seeing Laramie Tunsil feel bad about a penalty.
Yeah.
And that was when he was illegally downfield on a screen. And that was the only time I can remember on television seeing him look at, like, oh, I screwed up. Usually it was him just like with a look of disbelief. Oh, I can't believe you called that a false start. Oh. Just because I was two steps out of my stance before the ball was snapped.
Or sometimes what would bother me was sometimes he'd look around as if he was the only one who had the snap count right.
He'd blame the center. He would insinuate that it was the center's fault. And meanwhile, it would be nobody else was having an issue with the center.
Right.
It was the center's fault, even though everybody else managed to hold their water on that play.
And yes. Then on top of that, and maybe I could get past that, and this is where the whole not showing up to the voluntary stuff would bother me, because like I'm not the guy that wants to guilt anybody for not showing up to voluntary work. They tell you you don't have to be there. You're going to get paid anyway, even if you don't show up. I'm totally fine for the most part with guys deciding to do that, you know, on their own time, however they want to do it. But when it manifests like this, and this is your quote unquote leader, he was a team captain at one point, he's the best player on the unit, one of the best players on the team, and then something as like small but still as important as getting the snap count down, I couldn't help but to think, and I'm not a football player, right? I couldn't help but to think, man, you know what? It feels like just logic, being a logical human, a logical person, it seems like it would help to be around more or to be around earlier. And that seems like that's the type of thing that you might be able to mitigate with more reps and time.
This is what was bothering me about last year when he was on an historic pace. Like, he was going to obliterate any kind of record for penalties. And then he got it, to his credit, he figured it out midway through the season and he stopped. People would explain, they'd go out of their way to explain, well, he's just trying to time the snap count to get as good a, to get as much of an advantage as possible. Yeah, I know that. I know that's what he's trying to do. The really, really good offensive tackles tend to not do that. Like, they get two or three false starts per year, not 15-plus false starts per year. So that's a
– or if they are doing it, they're doing it a whole hell of a lot better than this guy's apparently doing it.
And that's what would drive me insane is that people would love to bring up his PFF grades, and you look at the pass protection grades. Well, yeah, that's great, but he's not getting docked for all those false starts. So meanwhile – yeah, it's no big deal if it goes from 2nd and 6 to 2nd and 11 for Laremy Tunsil, because he's still going to do a good job in pass protection on that play. But then you've got your Kenyon Greens, your aging Shaq Masons, whoever's playing center that day. Those guys have to deal with a 2nd and 11 now. And it's just, it was a complete independent operator state of mind where he just flat out didn't care as long as Laremy was getting his good pass protection grades. People would bring up his PFF pass protection grades and then curiously leave out his overall PFF grades, which were much less impressive than his pass protection grades, as they were trying to go on their Laremy Tunsil apology tour.
We love Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware around here, voices of the Texans. Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Texans, and Andre Ware, the color commentary and analyst for the Texans. I knew right here on Sports Radio 610, by the way, I knew it was bad with Laremy Tunsil when Andre Ware started to sound like this on our very airwaves.
Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start. Offense, number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
He got it out of the way early. Laremy Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
You see Mark try to work through it, and Andre's like, no, wait a minute now. That's supposed to be a Pro Bowl player, and this has happened. Like, I knew it was bad when our own radio broadcast guys and a guy like Andre Ware, who's kind of been letting it loose a little bit more in recent years, but when he is that impatient with you, it tells a lot. And of course, they watch and call every snap of every game for the Texans, but man, it just, at some point, it got really exhausting. As good and as talented as he is, because like I don't deny what the Pro Football Focus grades are trying to tell you about how good he is in pass protection, but everything you say is correct, that it is void of the context of him putting your offense behind the eight ball time and time and time again. It was really frustrating to watch.
The worst one, it was the Minnesota game when the Texans were at the Minnesota 31-yard line, you know, right there in field goal position. It's 1st and 10. They end up getting it they got it down to the Minnesota 27, sorry, on 2nd and 6. So it's 3rd and 4. Hey, that's 3rd and very makeable at that point. Titus Howard, false start. Next play, okay, now it's 3rd and 9. Juice Scruggs, false start. And neither of those are Laremy Tunsil. I get it. But this is where the leadership portion comes in. 3rd and 14, penalty, false start on Laremy Tunsil. And then 3rd and 19, illegal formation, Laremy Tunsil. Like, it was just, that was when Laremy Tunsil being the 3rd and 4th on 4 consecutive pre-snap penalties, that was an abomination. Like, Bobby Slowick should have been fired on the spot, and then you still should have traded Laremy Tunsil in the offseason, because that was just a complete train wreck of taking points off the board because you guys could not function like a lot of really good high school offenses. You go to any of these good high schools around in Texas, and they do a better job of not having 4 consecutive pre-snap penalties.
See, but you saying this right now, Seth, makes me feel validated in my take of that week. Like, I came back, so following that game, either on – it would have either been my Tuesday hit within the loop or my Wednesday hit with the drive. But on one of those two appearances, maybe even both of them, I was ready to bench Laremy Tunsil as more of a symbolic thing. Like – yeah. And I know that, you know, even in the moment it sounded ridiculous, and maybe it sounds ridiculous now, because they did not have a better option at left tackle than Laremy Tunsil if healthy. Like, that would have probably been a drastic and like a drastic overreaction, but it felt appropriate given the moment. Like, I don't know how you either send a message or how somebody is supposed to learn a lesson if there are no consequences beyond just, oh, now we're in whatever it is and long, and oh, guess what? by the way, the best thing that I do is protect us in these situations. So, like you said, it's really no skin off my back. It's skin off the back of the others. Like, without some kind of action to show that, hey, we're not going to accept this. I didn't really know what they were supposed to do, but I feel validated somewhat in the sense that they moved on, and I don't think it was just because of that. It was probably more so because of the financial reasons and everything that's coming up for them in terms of bills being due. But I do feel somewhat validated in how I felt. Even if my feeling didn't translate to logic and reason, my feeling, I feel like, was appropriate at that time, because even as good as he was or as good as he is, you just cannot have that. Like, that, it can't be this. This cannot be what we put out. This cannot be the example that we set for others.
It's exactly right. And it's not the one thing that was wrong with the offense or anything else. But when you're looking at a situation where obviously the team got rid of three starting offensive linemen, the offensive line coach, who's probably going to retire anyway, and Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, there were multiple things wrong there. But in one of those things, when you're trying to get the offense to operate more like the defense, just to play with a swarm mentality, to care about the little things, all of that, you can't have the highest paid guy on your team or one of the highest paid guys on your team who your young quarterback has cited as a vet. He doesn't do anything extra during practice. That's CJ's impression of what a vet does. Nothing extra during practice. That's great. That's a great influence on everybody. Everything you said is true. But at the same time, CJ Stroud's getting murdered back here. We can't, right now in season, it's not like you can bench Laremy Tunsil. It's something that had to be taken care of in the offseason. There's a reason. Laremy Tunsil is awesome in pass protection, and yet he's been traded off of two different teams now. That doesn't happen. Teams cling on to genuinely great offensive tackles as much as they can, unless there's an issue either with the player or the team. You don't get traded twice.
Not only traded twice, traded off of two different teams, but I would point out two different teams that have still had to try to figure out their offensive line post Laremy Tunsil. Like with the Dolphins, their offensive line was a mess for a long time. It's not like they traded them and they just had these answers, these next up answers, ready-made answers for their offensive line. They've been trying to piece it together damn near ever since. The Texans, another example. Like, I think most people feel pretty good about the decision and the direction that they're trying to go in, but I'll be damned if we'll say that they got that offensive line figured out. Like, he's been traded off of teams, but specifically teams with offensive lines that were still somewhat in peril at the time that he was traded. I think that says a lot.
And by the way, everybody, just in case you were wondering, Laremy Tunsil will not be participating in OTAs with the Washington Commanders, or at least as of earlier this week. People in Washington are super excited about the Laremy Tunsil trade, and understandably so. I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and act like he's a trash football player or anything.
Obviously, he's
very, very good in pass protection. That's pretty much it. But it's important. And people are thinking, all right, yeah, now we're going to get this thing together. And Jaden Daniels is going to, we're not going to see him for a while. Okay. Yeah. All right. I get it.
Yeah.
Lots of veterans sit out of OTAs and everything, but it is a little bit of a crestfall when one of the big name guys that's supposed to be helping the younger players on your team isn't out there at a vitally important position. People in Washington are trying not to be too upset about it. But I have seen headlines of Laremy Tunsil blasted by local sports radio host, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and look, I know that the Washington fan base is a fairly astute one, and they've had some rough years, but they know their football and they know their NFL. I would imagine, or would at least expect, I'll say this, I would have at least expected Washington media and Commanders fans to have done a little bit of their research, because it does not take very long from – honestly, the years that he's been here and our coverage, like just our market coverage of Laremy Tunsil, it does not take very long to learn and to figure out that this guy is only going to show up when it's time to punch the clock. Like when he is on the clock, when he is getting paid or paid to be there or not getting fined to not be there, that is when he will show up, and not a minute sooner and not a minute later.
The Laremy Tunsil trade is my favorite move of the offseason, partly because it also provided me some sports hatred for a team that I was struggling to hate. I was happy about the Commanders. I was impressed with Jaden Daniels. I thought, oh, that's great. Finally, that this team gets and their fan base gets some hope, some shine, all of that. And yet now I am invested in them collapsing and falling and burning to the ground. Yeah. And it's not just because of Laremy Tunsil. It's because I've spent the whole offseason now being kind of jealous and petty about it. I'm like, yeah, that was us last year. Yep, talking about all these great things to come. Washington did the exact same thing the Texans did after they had a promising year with their first-year quarterback. They went out and they were aggressive in free agency. That's what the Texans did last year. They were aggressive in free agency trying to build this team around your young quarterback, and in year two, everything fizzled to an extreme degree. So yes, I need the Commanders to fizzle and fail.
I suspect, though, Seth, you're going to have to settle for some kind of compromise or some type of meeting in the middle, because I do think that Laremy Tunsil is going to be good for them and is going to be an awesome pass protector for Jaden Daniels. But at the same time, I feel like, because they're going to play plenty of big games here in the future, we're still going to have those moments, and we're going to see it, and we're going to be all too familiar with it as Texans fans. Up, false start, illegal procedure. There's Laremy Tunsil moving the chains backwards and not forwards. Like, that's going to happen along with the fact that they will have upgraded at that position. Both things are going to be true, I think.
That's where this is going to be fun. If you don't follow Texans commenter on X, I encourage you to do so. He's a really good, he has a podcast, does a lot of stuff, but he also is a really good aggregator of good video content. Guys like Texans commenter are going to have every single Laremy Tunsil false start. You're going to see, it's going to pop up on your timeline. Look at this. What do we have here? The other part about the Commanders that I have a hard time hating is that Jason Simmons, who's one of my favorite teammates of all time, is the defensive pass game coordinator for the Commanders. So that's on the defensive side of the ball. I could hope for the Commanders' defense to continue to grow and improve and be good, but I need the offense to fail miserably.
One other text message we got from the 231, firing Bobby made me feel great. This was in response to
your
favorite Texans offseason. Where does that rank for you, Seth?
Yes, you know what? God, that's, I kind of lumped that in with the Laremy Tunsil trade, just the complete, the like, D'Amico acted like he was Stalin, man. He just purged anything and everything on the offense just to try to get some new blood in there. That was the thing that we were most doubtful about.
Yeah.
I didn't know if D'Amico either had it in him or would see, because it's a tough situation where you hire your buddy and you've got this blood brother pact from back in the day in San Francisco when you guys were quality control coaches together. That, hey, which I always like to imagine, like, the Bobby and D'Amico promising each other that they'll take the other one with them when they get a head coaching job. Like, that's a pretty one-sided arrangement there. Like, D'Amico is clearly on a fast track from the get-go. So I didn't know if he had it in him, or if, I don't know if he'd have blind spots and not really see how much of an issue everything was offensively. But that was impressive, you know, for something that was probably really hard for D'Amico to do. That was the best thing for the team, is that you gotta move forward, and they were taking a step back instead.
This was fun enough to carry into the next segment. Keep texting them in, 713-572-4610. Your favorite Texans move of the offseason, and also coming up next here on Payne and Pendergast, have you given up on any of these Texans? That's next here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Getting a lot of really good input from our audience here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Brandon Scott here, by the way, in for Sean Pendergast. Your favorite Texans offseason move. We've had folks going off on the Laremy Tunsil thing. It feels like every time it's like a therapy session for, you know, and it's funny for a player that actually is as good and as talented as Laremy Tunsil is or was while he was here to generate such a visceral reaction, such a negative reaction despite the fact that he's such a good player. It's hilarious to me.
I think, honestly, that it's probably the height of how it can be emotionally disturbing being a sports fan. Because as soon as you said therapy, I went straight back to 2013 and Matt Schaub throwing pick six after pick six after pick six. I got to the point where I was in a movie. I was watching a movie with my wife. And I got to the point where I had to get up from my seat and go pace around the lobby a little bit because I had started thinking about Matt Schaub's pick sixes and I could feel my heart racing. And I'm like, this isn't healthy. This isn't healthy at all. I got to separate. But that's how I felt after that Minnesota game. That the first part of this season when Laremy Tunsil was so routinely getting pre-snap penalties, I felt mentally unstable because of it. Yeah. I might have to sue him.
How long, and so based off of this audio we're about to present here, I want to know how long do you think it'll take before Washington media or Commanders media is going to need a similar level of therapy as you do, Seth Payne, and as clearly other Texans fans clearly do. And again, they have not had the full Laremy Tunsil experience yet. And part of the Laremy Tunsil experience is knowing what the offseason looks like. And that's that. You're not going to really see him doing football stuff until it's absolutely mandatory. That's just part of his shtick. But you tell me, based off of hearing this, how long do you think it will take before Washington media and Commanders fans are going to be in a similar place?
All right, Burgundy and Gold fans, I have a little bit of a bone to pick. Day one of voluntary OTAs for the Commanders. I know it's voluntary, but some guys should be showing up. Terry McLaurin, a no-show because of the contract dispute with him and the team. Understandable. Marshawn Lattimore, who was a cut candidate this year because of how uncertain he was and shaky he was in coverage down the stretch. Oh, it's his hamstring. No, show up at practice. Show up at practice. The Laremy Tunsil thing, he's not there either. That's where I have a problem. You could be on U Street doing the Cotton Eye Joe, messing the club up, buying sections, doing the whole nine, but you can't show up to voluntary OTAs? No one's asking you to be a leader. Just be there. Show that you care. Show that you're not above it. I know this is what he did in Houston. This ain't Houston. And guess what? The Texans traded his ass. I hope he figures it out because I'm not cool with him not showing up. And for all of you out there that say no big deal, was it no big deal when Chase Young didn't show up?
My man is mad. My man is angry. How long before this guy is going to be in serious need of therapy, you think?
He's probably – I didn't look at the comments on that. I'm guessing he's getting destroyed by Commanders fans because there's a credible argument that it is no big deal, except that people in Washington know exactly how people in Houston felt about Laremy Tunsil. I know because I did multiple radio hits in the Washington market where I even pointed out to them that, like, listen, I know, I get it. It's just a false start. It's 5 yards. I get it. It was the alarming regularity and the moments in which they happened that you just can't let go of. And I remember I was on with one of them. It was and I read out that play-by-play from the Minnesota game where there were four pre-snap penalties in a row and Laremy Tunsil had the third and fourth one. And just how much it became the emblem of – the problem with Laremy Tunsil was it was the emblem of underperformance on offense, that the guys that you rely upon – to be your best players, even if they're great in pass protection, are just so almost, it felt like deliberately harming your team and its chances at points. And it was happening in every position group. Guys were just vastly underperforming what they should be doing. So that becomes a Bobby Slowick thing as well. It'll be fun. This is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be a little side topic. Sean and I will probably have to revisit like every Friday, maybe. This would be a good time to do it on Fridays. We'll check in and see where they are with Laremy Tunsil. Sounds like he's having a good time socially there.
Yeah, yeah. Messing the club up and buying sections and all of that. Like, hey, you know, and from what I understand, I haven't been to D.C. since I was like 15 years old, so I haven't been as an adult. But from what I understand, it's a really good time. So, you know, have fun. But, yeah, you might be good to show up for work at your new place of work. It is funny to me now in the last couple of days and doing these shows together, Seth, that we've now talked about two former Texans, and not just former Texans, but leader guys, like whether it's by example, whether it's vocal, however, whatever the leadership style is, but definitely highly regarded guys in Stephon Diggs and Laremy Tunsil now in their new places, and there being some question about either commitment or just flat out attendance. Where you at? where you at for your new team, man. And by the way, that was audio courtesy of Lionel Willingham from 106.7 The Fan in D.C., our sister station, the Odyssey station in Washington, D.C. But that is funny to me that here we are, guys that we were expecting to be huge parts of the team last year and were huge parts of the team last year for better and or worse, are now in their new respective places, and there's this huge question about commitment and attendance. It's just a funny thing to me. We got more text messages on this too. Like, we were talking about Bobby Slowick. We had one
favorite moves, not just best moves, but favorite.
Not just best moves, but favorite. We have one that mentioned firing Bobby Slowick. Another one, also on the Bobby Slowick point, the move that made me feel best, easy, firing Slowick made me feel like D'Amico is a coach who can make tough decisions with the best for the team mindset. So, yeah, I mean, to your point earlier, Seth, the one that you were making in the last segment, like, we didn't really know if he had it in him. This is a guy that he was close with, somebody that he's kind of come up through the ranks, even if he was on a different type of trajectory, as we also pointed out, than Bobby Slowick. They did come up the ranks together, and it did seem like they were tied together, right? You know, the San Francisco background and then being in their, you know, the same timeline here. Bobby Slowick, I keep pointing this out because I feel like it is worth repeating. They gave Bobby Slowick a raise to stay. The dude was on multiple interviews for head coaching jobs.
The Falcons reportedly really liked him. There was a buzz about him, obviously.
And to the point where even when we'd asked D'Amico Ryans about it, like, they were open and just, you know, just talking about this whole process, to where D'Amico Ryan said that he told Bobby Slowick to be selective. Like, imagine that, like, from offseason to offseason, where you're telling one guy to be selective about the head coaching jobs that he might potentially be up for. Don't just take any old head coaching job.
I never thought about that.
Be selective.
D'Amico being big bro to Bobby and saying, hey, man, be selective. Don't just chase the money. Let's say theoretically or hypothetically, Bobby Slowick could have had a 5-year, $25 million contract somewhere as a head coach. But he got a nice little bump last year in pay as an offensive coordinator. And then less than a year later, D'Amico's firing him after telling him to turn down the $25 million. Oh, that makes it that much more impressive. If D'Amico, let's say hypothetically, D'Amico definitely took $20 million out of Bobby Slowick's pocket, but then also had to fire him. That's putting the team ahead. I couldn't do it. I would feel personally indebted to him.
Yeah, it is a fascinating interpersonal dynamic. And to this point, D'Amico Ryans did seem, you know, he does a really good job of, like, whatever his emotion is, and he does wear his emotions on his sleeve on the field. You can tell that he's really obviously a passionate guy about football, but he does a good job of kind of just being steady Eddie. I think that's one of the things that people really admire about him, but you could tell that there was a little bit of personal angst in having to make the decisions to fire a friend or fire somebody that you got a close working relationship with, and he did that. He bit that bullet, and he did that for the betterment of the team, or for what we believe is the betterment of the team, at least. And you got to give him some level of credit for that. But it was, I think, a question. Like, I feel like most of us evaluated the season, looked at it as a whole, and said, hey, there are justifiable reasons for firing this guy, Bobby Slowick. We just don't know if it's something that they can actually do or something that they would actually do, given the relationship and given the investment. And they said to hell with all of that and actually did it. So, I think there is some credit that deserves to be had there. We've got another text message that is more to the point that Mike Sando was making in The Athletic. And his was, hey, the pass-catching arsenal that the Texans have added between signing Christian Kirk and drafting the Jaden and Jalen combination out of Iowa State gives C.J. Stroud more options. We got a similar message here from the 713, the Cyclone Twins. That's the two guys from Iowa State that I just mentioned, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. The Cyclone Twins clearly are more options with hands for the Texans. So
yeah,
so they share in Mike Sando's belief that the favorite move is adding these pass catching options for C.J. Stroud.
The thing I like about Jaden Higgins especially is that he does have very good hands for a big guy, and it's. You know, I'm always very skeptical of rookies, but just because of his size and his sure hands, I feel like he's going to be an option. It's almost like how good of an option, how frequently, I don't know. But there's going to be opportunities for CJ to get the ball to him. And if he's got classic CJ Stroud accuracy, the 50-50 balls or the touch throws that are either out of bounds or a reception, I think that's a slam dunk for Higgins, or as close to a slam dunk as I can get myself to thinking. Jalen Noel is obviously is a slot receiver. The learning curve is a lot steeper for slot receivers as rookies. And he's also got a guy ahead of him in Christian Kirk that's a veteran-savvy receiver. So it doesn't mean that Jalen Noel is lagging or anything. I don't feel as secure that he's going to immediately be a big impact. Although, as you and many of the others noted out at OTAs, his speed and athleticism is just you can't help but notice it. The dude's one of the fastest guys out there. You got to figure out a way to get that speed on the field.
It jumps out, and not only does it jump out, but it's also something admittedly was not a strength of the team. Something that they definitely could have added was speed, and it seems like they've done that. So that part of it is pretty cool. Okay, so we've talked plenty about favorite offseason move that the Texans have made. Next on Payne and Pendergast, I want to hear about the Texans players that you're giving up on. Do you have players on this team that you've already given up on? That's next on Sports Radio 60.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. And on this one, not your favorite move, but we want to talk about the Texans that you've given up on. And this is a difficult conversation to have. I imagine most of the people listening have an affinity for the Texans, have a love for the Texans, don't want to give up on any of the players. One of the common themes of local fandom is falling too much in love with your own players, maybe having too much of a commitment to your own players. But in this case, it's the opposite. It's the player that maybe you had some high hopes for, maybe you believed in at one point, maybe there was some optimism about this player when they got to your team or at some point as they were playing for your team, but now the shine has worn off, or they just have not lived up to the expectation. Who is that player, or who are those players for you? I got a couple of names in mind of guys that are potential for this. I'm really reluctant. It's funny that I would bring this about because I'm really reluctant to give up on guys or be the one. It's funny to be in sports radio and not be the one that wants to say what a guy's limitations are or what he can be. I don't like to put limits on people, but that's part of what we do. Who's the guy that you've given up on, the Texans player? And make sure that you text in 713-572-4610. That is the way to get a hold of us. Also, the Mo Karam Injury Law Firm. The video stream on YouTube and Twitch as well. What say you, Seth? Do you have a name? I feel like we've kind of foreshadowed this a little bit earlier on in the show.
I'm going to give up on somebody that I expect is going to have a better year this year than he had last year.
But you're going to give up on him anyway, preemptively, just to be clear?
I want to say Dalton Schultz, but I'm trying to think logically and rationally. If they get things right elsewhere, Dalton Schultz is going to get targets. And I gotta remember going back to 2 years ago where down the stretch and in the playoffs he came up big. Okay, I can't give up on Dalton Schultz yet. I think that I'm not super enthusiastic about the contract that they've given him, but at the very least, I think you're going to see a better version of him. So, no, I was at the brink with Dalton Schultz, but I can't quite give up on him yet.
But see, I feel like, and it looks like you're kind of going another direction, like maybe like not giving up on him and seeing like he can have maybe a better year than last year. Is that in and of itself is some level of optimism? I would
right,
say
right,
though,
yeah. So no, I'm failing. I'm failing at this. I think we've seen the completely healthy version of John Mechie, but then we've also seen where, man, even in comparison to Xavier Hutchinson, who has his own drop issues. But he just doesn't mesh with the offense as well as Xavier Hutchinson does. And I'm not super enthusiastic about Xavier Hutchinson. But for me, like John Mechie in comparison to the youth that they have, or some of the other guys like Braxton Berrios, who can be really good as a returner and all of that, I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt to John Mechie anymore.
But see, I would even point out, this is kind of to establish some of the rules of the game here, I think you can even give up on somebody within context. So that's to say, I'm not giving up on this person as they're not going to be on the team, or that they won't even be an important contributor to the team in the case of Dalton Schultz, but maybe even just giving up on them in the idea of the way that you had them. Like, just to use a non-Texans example for a second here, Jalen Green. I've not given up on Jalen Green as a basketball player entirely. I have given up on Jalen Green as, hey, he's going to be the superstar that Jalen Brunson is, or that Tyrese Halliburton is, or that Anthony Edwards is. Like, I'm not viewing him in the SGA kind of light of potential, giving up on that, but having given up on him being a useful basketball player. I think you can do a similar thing here with Texans, and some of mine are, the ones I had in mind are pretty key in terms of, like, the contract year. They're all a part of the same draft class. Okay, so these are the names that I had in mind, and I'll pick one out of the three. Dameon Pierce, John Mechie, who you just mentioned, and Christian Harris. Okay? Mm-hmm. These are all guys a part of the same draft class, all guys who I feel pretty good about their chances of making the team. I think John Mechie is in a real competition. I think Dameon Pierce is something to keep an eye out for, even though we see the ways in which he can contribute and be valuable to the team. But those are the names that stand out to me more than anybody, more so because it's the contract year and because of the up and down nature of what their careers have actually been for the Texans so far.
Yeah, with Christian Harris, we've really seen just one half season of good football play.
Right.
And he was still playing like a young player in some regards, but that was his third year, you know, 2 years ago when he was starting. For him, I'm giving it a pass because it seems medical. If he had been out there at OTAs, I wouldn't even be entertaining it. I'd be saying, all right, whatever it was last year, he's good to go. But he was just observing practice at OTAs, so we don't know what the hell's going on with him from an injury standpoint. So he's right back in that mix. Dameon Pierce is the tough one because I do want to believe that he's a different guy than he was in, like, if he's in the right scheme, if he's in the right system. But even without all that, in training camp last year, just regardless of what type of play was called or anything else, he just didn't show that same ability to break tackles.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly why, other than if he lost weight or maybe he was just that uncomfortable in the scheme. But the things that were his hallmark his rookie year, we just haven't seen it. And including on his big runs last year, they were impressive runs, but they weren't necessarily classic Dameon Pierce breaking three tackles to get 12 yards or what have you. He just doesn't do it nearly as frequently. So I've given up my hopes for him being a guy that was at one point in the rookie of the year conversation. I think there's probably, I can't sit here and hope that someday he's going to be a 1,200 yard rusher or anything.
Yeah, Dameon Pierce is the one for me on this list. These are the three that I had in mind when I thought of the segment, and like I didn't even think about Dalton Schultz until you brought him up. But I think that's a fine point. Like, if you're thinking about for what they paid him and maybe what the expectation is that you have one of the, let's call it 10 to 15 best tight ends in football, like you're expecting that perhaps from Dalton Schultz. I've given up on that idea. I think he's still somebody that's going to be largely important to the offense. He's their top tight end. But I think that's a fine one. Dameon Pierce, though, and I've changed even from just when we talked yesterday about the running back position and the expectation of Woody Marks and me not wanting to put too much on Woody Marks and them having a plan for Joe Mixon and managing his workload. Like, that logically feels like it should be Dameon Pierce. I don't want to assume that it's going to be a rookie, but if it's going to be a rookie at any position, it does feel like that rookie could be at running back. And I do feel really, really good about Woody Marks. I'm curious about what the revitalization or what the renaissance for Dameon Pierce could look like in a new system or in a system that might try to utilize his skills more so like the first one that he was in as opposed to the one that he's been in the last couple of years. But I wonder if time has run out on that. Like, not that Dameon Pierce can't be a useful player, but when I think about the things that you're talking about right now, like him not absorbing contact, they talk a lot in this organization about contact balance. And I thought that Dameon Pierce had excellent contact balance in his rookie year. And, you know, some of the things that you're mentioning and some of the things that we've seen from him doesn't make me feel as confident in that as I was before. I just wonder if time has kind of run out for that. And maybe he's just a special teams guy, a return guy who comes in there and spells you a little bit, gives you a few carries here and there. But it's mostly Joe Mixon and then the emergence of one Woody Marks, who is a running back and, or I should say, an older running back, an older rookie, and somebody that is, I think, a little bit more dynamic than what Dameon Pierce is going to give you.
I think there's a guy that I've given up on that's actually a good sign, and it's Kurt Heinisch. So Kurt Heinisch came in 2022, and in 2022, I was like, okay, he's a plugger and like doesn't really have great, you know, impressive physical traits or anything, but he is where he's supposed to be and he gets the job done. And we've seen now they've cycled through so many Tim Settles and other guys at defensive line or defensive tackle that just show up and make an impact at some point. You look at Heinisch last year, he ends up having 5 solo tackles on the season. Like, just doesn't really show up or do anything. It's nice that he's around and he's a good dude and all that, but like, there's only so much room for guys that are space savers on the roster. So I think he probably gets squeezed out this year. And it's not like I'm, you know, super enthusiastic or anything about it, but I think the overall expectation and the low bar for what you can be on this defense has changed a lot. And guys like that, that are just kind of journeyman plugger types, they lose the benefit of their draft status after year 3. Ideally, it's after year 2 they lose the benefit of their draft status, but this team wasn't good enough to be there yet.
I'm seeing a lot of John Metchie on the text line. I think I'm probably reluctant to do that one for obvious reasons. You know, like he dealt with something that was far out of his control and just far more serious than what your typical football injury is gonna entail. So, but we are a decent amount removed from that now. So I do wonder how long I can be as sensitive to that as I am. But and again, I don't know. Like, he's different from Christian Harris and Dameon Pierce in terms of where the expectation ever was. Like, he gets the diagnosis before he ever touches the field, and so that colors the expectation or changes the expectation and kind of, you know, colors the lens in which you view him with. And so John Metchie is a hard one for me, but I can't say that that's not a fair critique or a fair response from the Texans on the text line giving up on John Metchie. I don't know what you think about that, but that's somebody
put him out there as he's my guy.
He's clearly somebody that's
guy that I think that, like, I don't, there's no benefit of the doubt anymore. Like, you got to show up and be better than what you've been, and it's not like, that's just there's only so much room for good football players on a football team, no matter what their backstory is.
Well, right. Just from what they've done from a personnel standpoint and from a talent acquisition standpoint in the draft, bringing in Christian Kirk, Justin Watts, a bunch of different guys that can compete. And it becomes a numbers game now. And I was saying about Dameon Pierce and the timing of it all, like at some point you run out of time to continue to prove yourself or to have the opportunity to prove yourself. And I do wonder if that's the case with John Metchie, especially considering all the competition that is in that room right now. So, like, that's definitely something that I think is fair, you know, despite the fact that he's gone through as much as he's gone through. That's a pretty fun exercise. The players that you're giving up on, not that you want to give up on them, but the reality is what it is. He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. And this is going to be fun, man. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, to lead off the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to play some Take a Mania. That's next on Payne and Pendergast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.